We're doing Navi, we're up to Shmuel, what they call the 23rd chapter. David had left his security zone to save the people of Keilah from the Philistines. Shaul had hoped that if David was in Keilah, it would be easy for him to capture him. And David asks Hashem through Eviatar the Kohen, should I stick around or will the people of Keilah give me into Shaul's hands? And Hashem says, leave, because the people of Keilah, in spite of all the good you've done for them, they will turn on you and give you into his hands. So David leaves. And when Shaul hears that he's gone, so Shaul stops pursuing him for that time. David remains in the desert called Midbar Zif. Midbar Zif is in Judean territory. So David feels relatively confident. The people of Zif tell David they're with him, and David sets up all kinds of intricate secret ways to escape should Shaul show up, and he sets up all kinds of hiding places. Yonatan comes to strengthen David's hands, and he tells him, don't worry, you're going to be king, and I will serve under you, and my father Shaul knows that. The people of Zif, David's own tribesmen, go to Shaul, and they tell him, David's hiding by us, and however you want, we'll help you take him down. Shaul says, blessed are you, you finally have mercy on me, someone has mercy on me. But David is very cunning. What I want you to do is spy out all his hiding places and all his pathways. And after you have a clear picture of exactly where he's hiding and how he hides and where he runs, then I'll go and we'll take him down. So that's what they do. They make believe they're his friends, and they are going to be his worst enemy. They will be a recurring theme in Tehillim, the people of Zif, his own tribesmen who he trusts, who were especially nice to him. The people of Zif, they prepare a very accurate description to Shaul of where David is and how he could catch him. And so Shaul shows up to the area of Zif, the area called Midbar Maon, and he chases David. And David tries to use one pathway, and Shaul is hot on his tail. And every ploy that David tries to use does not work, until Shaul is so hot on his tail that David is on one side of the mountain, and Shaul is coming on the other side of the mountain. And in order to take a shortcut across the mountain, David goes up the mountain to come back down the other side, and that's a critical error. And so Shaul does not follow David. Shaul has a very good handle of the terrain. Shaul is a very smart general. And so Shaul takes his men and he spreads them out around the mountain. And now they have the mountain surrounded. And David is up on top. And Shaul and his men have surrounded the mountain. And the soldiers start going up the mountain. 3,000 soldiers. David is outnumbered 5-1. For every soldier David has, Shaul has 5 top men. And they start ascending the mountain. And David looks down, and he sees he's finished. He looks down, and he sees Shaul, and he sees the procession of the army, and he knows it's over. So he stops to think, and he says, "Is it really over? Shmuel, the Navi, told me I'm the next king, so I'm supposed to live." He's running and thinking and running and thinking, and he's running from one place to another trying to figure out, is there a way out? And then he comes to his conclusion. We say it in Tehillim, David's conclusion. We say it in Hallel every month. Ani amalti bechofzi. When I was running and I could see no way out, you know what I said? Kol ha'adam kozev. Everyone's a liar. Even Shmuel's a liar. I'm dead. No one's telling the truth. Even Shmuel, David at that moment figured it's all over. David saw no way out. And technically, it was over. And so Shaul continues his advance, and David sees no way out. He doesn't want to kill his brethren. And an angel shows up. And the angel shows up in the form of a man, and he runs over to Shaul, and he says, you have to run, because you've been busy over here, but I have bad news for you. The Philistines have taken advantage of your preoccupation, and the land of Israel is about to be lost from your grip. If you don't leave right now, you're going to lose all of Israel. The Philistines are quickly expanding over Israeli territory. And Shaul stands there looking up the mountain. He sees David is within his grasp, and he looks back down the mountain, and he says, I have to do what Hashem wants. And he leaves. And that's how David is miraculously saved that moment. And David, from that point onward, will not take confidence, even in his own tribesmen. He will continue on the run as a fugitive. So David is hiding in the desert called Ein Gedi. And Shaul comes with his 3,000 men to hunt out David. And David is hiding in the caves there. Now the caves are very intricate in Ein Gedi. So Shaul wants to pour out his legs, which is a modest way of saying take care of his bodily needs. So he goes into a cave. And he sits there to take care of his bodily needs. And Shaul has a natural, royal, noble tendency to himself. Some people are very nice outside. Someone once told me about a certain famous politician. He said, if you'd ever visit him at home, the guy's a hog. He said to me, you can't stand next to him. He doesn't shower. His clothing are filthy. Everything's a mess. You see him on television, the guy shows up spick and span. He says, yeah, because on television you can't smell him. He told me that the guy, if you meet him, the guy is a total slob. But on television, he makes the greatest impression. You think he's neat, he's clean. Yeah, he has a whole team. Make him look that way. Shaul was the exact opposite. Shaul, his nature was dignified. And so even when he thinks he's all alone in the cave, Shaul has the dignity. He sets up a little enclave, his own little bathroom. But there's no one there. Who's going to see him? No, Shaul sets up a few stones around him so that when he does his own needs, he's modest. But there's no one in the cave. Shaul thinks he's all alone. It's dark. He sees no one. Right. But Shaul has an inner dignity. He has an inner modesty. And so Shaul sets up this little bathroom. He sets up a few stones. He sets up a little bathroom for himself. And David and his men are hiding there in the dark watching this. And they're there as Shaul starts taking care of his bodily needs. Yes, sir. Yeah.
What did he learn from the Malach? It's kind of like David broke, but he lost his emuna, and then Hashem comes and saves him. So it's like, why dafka then? You expect the effort that he has so much emuna, and he like starts, instead of thinking to himself, he starts praying. He's thinking to himself, and he gets all these svekot, and then all of a sudden Hashem saves him.
I think we learn many things from the story. Number one, we learn it's human to have a breaking point. Number two, we learn that even when we think it's all lost, things can change. That's the lesson David HaMelech taught us, what it says, "Afilu cheruv chadam unacht al tzavaro shel adam." Even when a person has the guillotine by his neck, and all they have to do is let go, and the sheer weight and sharpness of the guillotine finishes him off, Al yimna atzmo min harachamim. A person should never hold himself back from asking for mercy. So that's a class in its own right. But in a nutshell, we learn that. I'll tell you one more thing. My father always used to tell us that we should learn from that story that people have moments in their life where they think everyone's a liar. People have moments in their life where they're so disappointed they feel like I can trust no one. We have to remember that David says, Ani amalti bichofzi. I said it when I was on the run. If I would only have time to sit down and think, I would realize it's not the right approach. So my father used to tell us, pay attention. When you have moments that you feel like all of humanity has failed you and you're ready to look down at all of life, remember those are the moments where you're not seeing clearly. They're the moments of bichofzi. You're under pressure. Life isn't where it should be, where you'd like it to be. So David and his men are hiding in the back of the cave. And David's men whisper to him, and they say, the day has come that Hashem told you that He will give the enemies in your hands, and you'll do what you see fit. And so David starts crawling towards Shaul. He's crawling quietly up the cave, approaching Shaul. And as he approaches Shaul, he can kill him. Shaul doesn't even know he's there. He has his sword in his hand, and he gently slices off the corner of Shaul's coat. Shaul is sitting there modestly surrounded with his coat. Chazal say a person is only called a tzanua, a modest person, if he's even modest in the bathroom. En korin tzanua, ela lemisha tzanua bevet hakise. If even when he thinks he's all alone, like Shaul thought he was all alone, no one sees him, and even there he's modest, that's called a modest person. If a person's modest where everyone else can see him, okay, that's one type of modesty. And David feels really bad that he cut off the corner of Shaul's coat. And he comes back to his men and they say, why didn't you kill him? And David says, God forbid, he's anointed by Hashem. How could I kill a man anointed by Hashem? And David's men say, we'll kill him. You don't have to, that's fine. And David says, you touch him, I kill you. And David fights his men with the harshest terms, and they're ready to form a mutiny against him. They're ready to charge, and Shaul and David holds them back. And then Shaul leaves the cave, and he walks his way. And David comes out of the cave, and he calls out after Shaul, and he says, my master, the king. Shaul turns around. David bows before him. David says to Shaul, he says, you know, you have one of your officers named Doeg. That man keeps telling you that I want to harm you. Why do you listen? Look, today you've witnessed that Hashem gave you in my hand in that cave. And my men set to kill you. And I had compassion over you. And I said, no, I will not touch a man anointed by Hashem. Father, look, here's the corner of your coat. Look, I'm holding it in your hand. Take note, when I cut the corner of your coat, I could have killed you. And I didn't. So look, I don't want to hurt you. I've done nothing wrong to you. Not on purpose, not by mistake. And you're hunting me to kill me. Hashem should judge between the two of us. And Hashem should take revenge on my behalf from you. But I won't touch you. As the ancient Mashal, Mishal HaKadmoni, the ancient allegory says, wickedness emanates from wicked people. I will not be a source of wickedness. I will not hurt you. Our sages say, what is Mishal HaKadmoni? The ancient allegory is a term for Torah. After who has the king of Israel gone in pursuit? After who are you chasing? A dead dog? After a little flea? What are you chasing me for? What are you investing all these energies for? What am I worth? Hashem, who is the true judge, will judge between us. And Hashem will fight and take justice from your hands. David finishes. And Shaul looks at him and says, is that your voice, my son David? And Shaul starts crying. And he says, you know what? You are more righteous than I am. You've done me kindness, and I've only repaid you with evil. And today you've shown how you've done good for me. Hashem gave me in your hands. You didn't kill me. When a person sees his enemy and sends him off in peace, well, Hashem should pay you good over what you've done today. And now I know that you're going to be king. Why does Shaul know? Shmuel had told him, the person who cuts the corner of your coat, right? When Shaul met him, and he took Shmuel's coat and it tore, so Shmuel turned around and said, that's your sign. The one who will tear your coat will be the next king instead of you. So now Shaul says, now I see it. You're going to be the next king. But I want you to promise me that you won't go after my children. What ordinarily happens is when a king becomes king, he takes care, he makes sure the old king's family won't come after him. So he says, promise me you won't annihilate my family. And David promises Shaul. Shaul goes home, and David and his men don't trust Shaul. And there's a problem. After this whole story, Avner ben Ner, Shaul's chief general, tells Shaul, why didn't we charge? Shaul says, you're kidding, he could have killed me. He spared my life. Avner says he couldn't have killed you. He was in a cave. Had he done anything to you, he would have all killed him. Shaul says he cut the corner of my coat. He was that close, he could have killed me. Avner says, how do you know? Maybe as you were traveling, your coat got caught on a thorn bush, and David just found the corner of your coat torn off. You don't even know that happened. You don't know. And Avner convinces Shaul to continue pursuing David. He tells Shaul, you really don't know. There's no reason to give up on this. Avner is from Binyamin. He is Shaul's relative. And Avner is going up in the ranks. Avner politically is going to potentially be the next king after Shaul. And Avner sees no reason to let the kingdom go over to the tribe of Yehuda. Avner convinces Shaul, we're not done. Yes, Avner's a tzaddik, by the way. Okay, yes. Torah says...
No, I'm saying like father-son.
Torah says yes.
We don't really see that often.
The whole Davidic dynasty, till today, Torah says yes. Hu uvno kol hayamim. In Kohanim and in kings. If the son is worthy, he's supposed to take his father's position. If he is mimale mekom avotav, if he could fill his father's shoes. Yes.
With David, is that actually compassion?
It seems
like he was shooting himself in the foot.
It's an act of compassion.
When David's an old man...
At what point of being compassionate to someone is it being... Right, there's a point where it's cruel. To help the person, you need to be tough.
I'll tell you an answer, but it won't be enough. You'll want more, and you're entitled to more, but now is not the time, okay? So, a little bit. Number one, when David's an old man, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Melachim, he doesn't get hot. Chazal say it's because he cut off the coat of Shaul. He can't warm himself. Nothing they do on his behalf can warm him, right? Chazal say that's because he cut the corner of Shaul's coat. What was wrong with that? When Shaul gets punished and when he gets taken to task, he will get taken to task for a lot of things. He does not get taken to task for pursuing David. He gets taken to task for killing the city of Nob. Slowly. So that means Shaul did nothing wrong in his pursuit of David. Shaul has some kind of depression and certain things you see he's not blamed for. Is it because of that, or is it because technically, halachically, he's allowed to, as king, he is allowed to suspect that someone's plotting a rebellion against him? Certainly someone who's anointed by the prophet as the next king, certainly someone that the girls are singing all over Israel, he's 10 times as good as the king. If the girls are saying that, okay. So, in order for David to kill him, David is raising his hand against the king who was appointed by Hashem. You're assuming David was in the wrong, and I'm saying our indicators show that Shaul was in the right. David, it seems it was decreed in heaven, would spend this period in his life being pursued, because David did nothing wrong. And yet, you see, he had to undergo this period of being a fugitive. And it doesn't seem like Shaul was wrong for chasing him. We automatically side with David. What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. But that doesn't mean Shaul was wrong either. So you're assuming that David was being so kind that he didn't kill Shaul. Who said he had a right to kill Shaul? Maybe he only had a right to flee. Shaul was the rightfully appointed king, and David was threatening his kingship, and a king does have a right to kill people who try to take away his throne.
Technically, she was anointed. So technically, because he's anointed, he's threatening.
Why is it technical?
He was anointed.
He is the king. He is anointed.
Technically, he was the next person in line, but it says that like Logo Guest, Saruta, like a Mahmud does not go into other Mahmud, like a hair. Technically, he wasn't going to take off years of Shaul's kingdom.
I said you're entitled to a better answer, but this is as much as we can do tonight. Okay? We'll have to pause here.